ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Tuesday, October 10th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Al, right before the show, I was I had an appointment, and I was coming back to the office, and I got a phone call from Mr. Greg Hunter, and he wanted to be on the program today. So, to my surprise and pleasure, and we're going to have Greg Hunter join us here in just a few moments. And, of course, that's Greg Hunter from the USAWatchdog.com. So, he was all excited. He wanted to talk about Puerto Rico. We talked about Puerto Rico and the debt and Mr. Trump wanting Congress to just erase their debt, to charge it off like it was a little credit card. And perhaps when you compare it to $20 trillion, it is a little credit card. And, you know, how put it everything into a little bit of perspective. But there's a lot of people that will be hurt, and we're going to be talking about that. Greg wanted to talk about that specifically. So I'm looking forward to hearing Greg Hunter. And we also have gold today. Very irritating day in gold all day long, all day. Gold was up $10. They had to whack it close to the end. Gold's up $440 at $1289. You have silver up 15 cents today. Bear with me here. 15 cents today. I said that. $17.20. You have platinum. Big day for platinum. Almost getting ahead of palladium, up $16, $936, up 1.75%. Palladium was up $5 at $938. And we told you folks that was a good buy to be buying platinum last week when you have that dip below platinum, and or have platinum below the palladium level, it would just reverse itself and take its position as a platinum metal, and it did. USDX today was down 0.49 at 93.23. Crude oil was up $1.35 at 50.93. And it just really doesn't matter what goes on in this world today. The Dow was up 70 points at 22,830. The NASDAQ was up 7 at 6,587. The S&P was up 6 at 2550. 10-year yield today, a little pressure, 0.02 at 2.34%. The euro was up strong, 0.63 at 118 for the euro. So I'd gone back. As soon as I know Greg Hunter is on the line, we'll head to Mr. Hunter. I don't think he's there yet. No, he is not. And you know, Al, I saw back in 2007 in August is when the Great Recession is what they're tagging actually began. But what's interesting is the S&P kept on making records until almost the end of October. So, again, we're seeing a comparison to, you know, things are falling apart, things can't hold, and yet you still had the S&P hitting records. And it kind of reminds me of what's going on today. So we're going to be talking with Greg again about the Puerto Rico debt, and I also think he wanted to talk a little bit about the perhaps the new Fed chair, if Trump will replace Janet Yellen. And I guess there was three others, Gary Cohen, Jerome Powell, and Kevin Warsh. So we'll be talking a little bit about that here in the program with Mr. Greg Hunter from the USAWatchdog.com. And he should be joining us here in just a few short moments. And I think he's with us, Al. I think...
Yes. I'm here.
Hello, Mr. Hunter. Hello, Greg. How are you today?
How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
How are you guys doing? How are my friends at Discount Gold and Silver Trading doing?
We're fantastic.
Lovely.
And I was so pleased that you called today and wanted to be on the program.
I do. I want to be on. I've got a interview. I guess I'm promoting it because this is the when I heard the president talk about Puerto Rican bonds, I thought, who do I know really knows their bonds? That'd be Michael Pinto. He wrote a book about it in 2013, predicting what was going to happen in the bond market. And I know you guys talked about this, but let me tell you, that is, you know, forget about all this, you know, the Trump tweeting about, what's her name, the ESPN chick that called him a white supremacist that got suspended by ESPN. Forget about this, you know, Tillerson, my IQ's higher than his, that's fake news. Forget about all that. And what they missed was the most salient point of what we have in America and in the world today. They missed it. Wasn't news. And that, when I heard this, I thought, oh, that's not a tip off. Puerto Rican debt, we got to wipe that out. Oh! Now you let that sink in. It's too great to pay. There's too much of it. I talked to Michael Pinto. He says, you're absolutely right. I said, what does this mean? He goes, oh, it means that there's this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is, you know, you're going to get a daisy chain, a massive defaults. And this is what happened with Puerto Rico. You know, the fallacy of, oh, it's only 2%. Oh, it's only 3%. It's 2%. Oh, you get a government tax. It's like making 4% because you don't pay any taxes, tax fee munis. It's just too, you know, they can take all the debt they want because they're only paying a couple of percent until they can't pay. Until they can't even pay the principal, let alone the interest. They couldn't pay the interest on the bonds. They couldn't pay them. And that is the problem with the problem of that the debt is so massive that we're bumping up against a point. Puerto Rico was faced with, okay, we can cut, you know, picking up garbage and social services, and we can cut all this other stuff and the free clinics and the free health care and the free this and the free that and all the social. We can cut all that and take the bond payments, or we could just default. And we won't have a problem until we have to borrow money. So let's just default. And what
the problem you're going to see with this is if they allow or encourage Puerto Rico to default, I guarantee you Illinois, for example, is going to want to be able to default on its debts also.
How about New York? How about California?
Right now saying, if they can default, how about us? Why don't we default too?
Well, here's what Michael Pinto explained. He said, so would the president just call over to the Treasury and say, and there's a couple of schools of thought on this. So let's just go with two good, solid experts, okay? And that's Pinto and that's James Rickards. And Rickards has said before, you know, the president can simply call the Treasury because Steve Mnuchin works for him. And he could just simply call Mnuchin and say, hey, listen, Secretary Mnuchin, you stop liquefying those bonds. We will give them full faith and credit, but they got to hold them to term. Holy cow. Or Trump, who has said, this is what Pinto brought up, too. He said, listen, Trump is going to put somebody in the place of Yellen that's going to make Yellen look like a penny pincher. She's going to make it look like she's conservative. The guy he wants to put in wants negative interest rates and high inflation, and he has said, we will pay everybody back. And keep telling people about this pension calamity, and it'll be I've said this before on your air, I'll say it again. This is going to be inflation or deflation. It's going to be inflation and deflation at the same time. And if you're a Puerto Rican bondholder, you are experiencing deflation. That's debt destruction. And if you're a Social Security holder, you're going to be experiencing, oh, we owe you some money. Oh, okay. Well, we're going to pay you every penny we owe you.
But and, not now.
You know, so this latte now at Starbucks is now 1970, 1950. It's 1999 for a latte, a tall. Or you want a large, it'll be $25.60. Okay? And look no further for this kind of logic than, and you can Google this if you'd like, Alan Greenspan testifying in Congress talking about making all these payments, and he said, you know, we can guarantee any nominal sum. We can print the money and guarantee the nominal sum. This is not a verbatim, but it's close. But we can't guarantee the buying power of the money. Mm-hmm. Now, what was he talking about? Mm-hmm. So noticed. A carnival of inflation and deflation. Oh, you're a Cypriot bondholder? Yeah, we're not paying that. Or you're a Greek debt holder? Yeah, we're not going to pay that either. You know, you're a Puerto Rican bondholder? Yeah, sorry, we're wiping that out. You made a bad decision. Social Security. Ooh, I got to get elected again. Yeah, we're gonna liquefy that. But don't expect them not to. They're already talking about government payments. Did you see the story in the government that they're talking about knocking out koala? You know, the cost of living. What is that? Cost of living, cost of inflation. You know, they're going to equalize your money.
That means they anticipate the cost of living is going to go up dramatically.
Oh, my gosh. You know, they totally under.
And they're trying to get out from under
it now. John Williams at ChannelStats.com, who computes the inflation rate as they did in 1980 without all the, geometric smoothing and all the, leaving out, replacing, hamburger, replacing steak with hamburger as the cost of survival, not the cost of living. And if you take a look at what John Williams does at ShadowStats.com, you'll find that the inflation rate isn't, 2%. I mean, if they did it the way the government did, it's StatsNotTheOM, ShadowStats.com. And this guy is an economist, John Williams. And if you take a look at the inflation rate, if you like a look at the inflation rate the way it was done in 1990, he's just using 1990, okay? Not 1980, he's using 1990. Well, they already had some gimmicks in there. The inflation rate right now is around 5.5%. Now you think, 5.5%, that's not bad. Well, multiply that by 10. How much of buying power did you lose of your money?
You mean over a period of 10 years?
Yeah. I mean, add 5% time. Look at the rule of, the 70s. It's unbelievable. You'll be losing, I think at 8%, you lose half the value of your money in 10 years. So what is this, 80%? I don't know. But it's not going to stay stable. They want to tell you that we don't have inflation. We do have inflation. We do. If you measure it the way it was measured, you can just go to the front page of ShadowStats.com and look for yourself. It's free. There's a bunch of free stuff on there. And it's a ShadowStats alternative inflation rate. And he has, the CPU, which is around 2%. It's the government's version. And the CCPIU, which is the more manipulation from the government. And then the alternative rate in 1990. How they did it in 1990. And if you look at 1990, it's 5.5%. And that means the Fed is way behind the curve on inflation. Way. Way. And everybody is singing this happy song.
What about the U.S. dollar index? Dollar has lost 8 or 9% of its purchasing power as compared to half a dozen foreign currencies since the first of this year. Isn't that evidence of inflation, at least on the international level?
Here's the problem with looking at just that, because you have to look at all of them. You're looking at 8 or 9%, okay, but we're still the cleanest dirty shirt in the basket. And if there is a shock to the system, and, what do you do with billions of dollars? What do you do with billions of dollars? You can't put it, as Martin Armstrong once said, you can't, this is the problem. You can't put $1 billion into a savings account to a bank with a $250,000 FDIC guarantee. So this is why you use the bond market, the Treasury bond market. This is where the full faith and credit come in. And so if we get a shock to the system, people may run out of the stock market and run into the bond market. But into the perceived safety of the bond market, that could vault the dollar up momentarily or for a short amount of time. And then again, it might not. I mean, we're in uncharted territory.
Yeah, but what happens when that shock is actually coming from the area where people usually go to?
Well, there you go. If they if the rest of the world, and what did John Williams say, 16, 17, 18 trillion of liquid dollar assets held outside the country, and if they get the idea firmly in place that we're going to inflate investments away, sell. And then that's when you get, start getting people wanting to cash in billions of dollars, hundreds of tens of billions of dollars in a single shot. And then you might get that call from the president saying, from Mnuchin to the president, what would you like me to do, Mr. President? And, we say, well, they make them hold to maturity. We can't liquefy all that debt. We'll have inflation like crazy. Yeah, they made a bad decision. They're just going to hold it. That's happened before, incidentally. And, the other thing is that Michael Pinto brought out is that what their plan is, and of course, Rickards brought this out as well. Incidentally, I don't know if you saw this. Rickards' interview was an hour long, and the first 10, 12 minutes of it was about his predictive, software company predicting, events and happenings. I wouldn't say black swans. I'd say just things that could throw the market into a loop or raise it up or crash it down. In this case, probably crash it down. But he had some big bombs, and they were both talking about they want to normalize their balance sheet. What does that mean? That means they're unnormal. And just if people understand this, that we are still in an emergency posture at the Fed. They want to normalize their balance sheet. That means it's abnormal. They want to normalize interest rates. That means they're abnormal. And we're still, and they're talking about normalizing their balance sheet, and they're talking about selling all this debt, and other central banks are talking about, oh, well, the Fed's doing it, we're going to do it too. And they're going to be net buyers of stuff, which is what's vaulted this market up. I mean, there's no reason for the market to go up unless it's central bank intervention. And they're going to become the net sellers, you know, unless we have a Great Depression, which that may happen too. But the problem with the central bank intervention is that it's hard to invest, quote unquote. You're really just making bets on the intervention and the manipulation. That's why, Hugh Henry, I don't know if people saw this. This just flew all over me. Here's a guy that's managed billions of dollars, who got a lot of right calls, who didn't have a disastrous record. His people were up 5, 6, 7, 8% or whatever, but he hedged himself, so he didn't go up as much as everybody else. And he just threw in the towel, Hugh Henry. Basically, what I got out of his write-up as to why he's giving everybody their money back. I can't read the markets. I can't. It wasn't supposed to be this way, is one of his quotes. Which means he was afraid of a terrible downturn, and he couldn't hedge for it, and he couldn't anticipate when they were going to stop or when he just gave their money, because he would leave the game with his reputation and his cash intact, even though wasn't that great of a gainer. He made some big moves. 8 years ago, he was talking about buying the German Bund, when it was 4.5 or 5%. And people are like, really? You think rates are going to go down? Oh, yeah. German Bunds, 10-year Bunds. So I'm going to go buy German bonds. Well, what's the German debt now? Some of it's paying negative interest rates. I think Michael Penta was saying that we have $15 trillion in negative interest rates. We added $70 trillion to the debt pile. And back to the massive defaults is what he's saying, that there is going to be massive defaults around the world. Just look at Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. When they're faced with the choice of, listen, we can cut all of our services down to zero and let the garbage pile up in the streets and let people die from being sick, or we can screw the bondholders. Well, guess what's going to happen? What would you do?
Oh, I understand. There's not much choice. I mean, we're faced with the reality that the debt can't be paid. It's too big to be repaid. That means it's not going to be repaid. And the only question is, how do they get around it? Do they refute it and they just say, that's it, we're not paying? Or do they go to inflation and try to sneak around?
I don't think either or, though.
But we've
got to
take a break right now, Craig.
A little both.
Greg, we have to take a break for a couple of commercials, and we will be back with Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com in just a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks, I'm Alton Gaddis with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. We're with our guest, Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com, and we're talking about the problem, the globe, not just the United States, not just Puerto Rico. We're talking about the problem of debt. It is too great to be repaid. And
no
it's
matter
not,
how, yes.
There's no way of repaying it, but you can't easily just cancel it either, because if you do, you wipe out all of the correlative paper wealth. You cancel the debt, you make the bonds worthless that are backing that debt up. Now you've wiped out, take the national debt, $20 trillion, fine, cancel the debt, but you got to wipe out $20 trillion in paper wealth. Can the economy withstand it?
Who's going to take the hit? That's the question. Who's going to take the hit? And I see, and I'm telling you, I don't think it's people. I think they. I've been saying this for ever since I've been on the air. I said I don't think it'll be one or the other, and that's what it's been. It's not been one or the other. It's been both. Look at the real estate crisis. People who bought houses at the top of the market got crushed. That's deflation. That's debt destruction. They had a bunch of debt, and the house. Well, at least they had the house. And speaking of that, there are two things. People are probably thinking, well, what the hell do I do? Charles Nenner said something. He's the guy, the former Goldman Sachs guy. He's a world-renowned cycle investor, market timing, trader guy. World-renowned, one of the best. He was one of the voices, and I had a lot of voices on saying, not yet, not going to blow up yet. Won't blow up in 15 or 16. It's going to blow up in 17. That's when it's going to blow. It's going to blow up in 17, maybe early 18, but it's going to blow up then. But not yet. And he was right. Catherine Russell Pitts also said, but she's bearish on this year. And everybody is 2018 that we go into cliffdom. We run out of all runway. We don't get a little drop. We get the big drop in 18. It's coming to an end. And the central banks are signaling they're going to stop the bond buying. They're going to stop the printing of money. They're going to stop all that. They're going to start sell. When you sell debt into the market, that's more debt into the market. You got to pay a higher rate. You got to get people enticed to buy. Who's going to buy that dated debt?
Who's going to pay full price on it? If they start trying to sell a significant amount of debt into the market, first off, they're going to take currency out of the market, which will slow things down. But suppose they're going to sell a bond, $1 million worth of bonds, and the market is only willing to pay $700,000. What does that tell us about the value, not only the bonds that are up for sale, but the bonds that are sitting in the bank vault, in the safety deposit boxes? Are they all going to be marked down to market?
And that's going to get you to your next thing. Are they going to inflate it? Are they going to let some of them go and inflate others? Are they going to inflate the market? I mean, just Social Security, the inflation associated with that would be astronomical. And pensions. I think pensions aren't going to be inflated. You're not going to get paid par on pensions. It's going to be sorry. We can't do all that. They won't be able to do it unless they just want to destroy the currency completely, totally, and all together. But I'll tell you about two stories I want to tell you. I want to tell you about Charles Nenner and Dr. Michael Burry, the guy featured in the movie The Big Short. Let's start with Charles Nenner. Charles Netter said to me about a year ago, listen, you need to be positioned correctly. And if you're not positioned correctly, you could lose everything. And I said, okay, so what are you telling people to do? Well, buy real estate. Wow, buy real estate, but it'll, as interest rates go, it'll go. He's talking about paying cash for it. He's not taking, talking about getting a mortgage. This is not the way somebody investing thinks. Talking about taking your cash and shielding it in clear title real estate. He says, in that way, you buy apartments, you buy rental property, you buy stuff, and admit it, it's going to take a hit. Now, you think about an investment guy that worked at Goldman Sachs telling you to buy an asset and holding it and controlling it, rental property. That'll throw off income. He's all about income. The guys in Wall Street are all about income. And he's talking about throwing off, you know, at least you'll have the apartment. Yes, it'll go down in value. You may lose half. You may lose, you know, 80%. But you'll have that asset, and it will be able to provide you with income in rents. Now, you think about how bearish that is. That's not buy and hold over the long term, and it'll come back, and you know you'll have you know the it's paying a dividend of 4%, and you paid while you wait, and you know you buy this bond or that bond or whatever. You're not telling you to buy any bonds. He's telling you to buy real stuff and hold it, and even if it crashes, you'll still have the real stuff. That's number one. That should be a frightening piece of investment advice. If that's the best somebody like Charles Netter can come up with. Think about that. Number two, what do I do? 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 What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? You got to own your stuff. Let's talk about Michael Burry and investing money. Now, any good money manager is going to tell you, listen, you can't go all in. You got to be diversified. You got to, you know, you got to have just 10% of gold. Jim Rickards told me that. You know, Michael Pinto said, you know, 10%. You know, they can't come off telling you, gosh, go in 50%, 70 cents. Go pay. If you pay your house up, buy gold, buy silver. They can't do that as money managers. They'll be chided in their community, even if it's the best thing for them to do. What does that have to do with Michael Burry? Well, in 2006, Mr. Burry said, wow, this isn't just one little, you know, the whole tranches of debt. You had really good debt and pretty good debt and mediocre debt and then not so good debt and terrible debt. Well, yeah, it wasn't that. It wasn't that. That was a lie. It was all of it was junk, mostly all of it, and it was going to destroy everything in the real estate market. It was not going to be contained. Remember that big lie by the Fed? It's going to be contained. No, it won't. This is why I was still working at CNN. I said it won't be contained. I remember having an argument with she wrote a book that came out at the peak of the market. It was one of the personalities over at Fox now. I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, we had an argument.
Oh, Maria Bartiromo.
And I said, Bartiromo. She said, well, you know, you're, why are you saying real estate is so terrible? I didn't realize she had a book out. She was getting, you know, CNN was taking pictures of her. Jerry Willis taking pictures of her. And she was coming out with this book, and it's flipping houses and all this. Right at the top of the market. You know, ding, 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 ding. Bell was ringing. And, you know, I'm a nobody there, and she's Jerry Willis at CNN, got a book deal, you know. And I'm saying, my sources say that it's not going to be contained. Why do you say it's not going to be contained, like the Fed says? I mean, you know more than the Fed? Well, I don't know more than the Fed. I'm just a reporter, and I'm just going with my sources, and my sources are saying it won't be contained. We look back on it, well, whose sources were right, me or the Fed? Or my sources, the people that I knew, or the Fed? My sources. Because it wasn't contained. It wrecked the real estate market. And she said, well, why are you so sure? I said, because, you know, my guys don't have skin in the game. They're just telling you what they think. And your guys have skin in the game. And sure enough, that's what happened. Back to Michael Burry. So Michael Burry in 2006 looked at all this stuff. And, you know, when you're early, you look wrong. And he went, wow, this is junk. This isn't just a little bad debt. This is all crap. I'm going to bet short on this. And he took other people's money, and he had position limits, but he knew it was going to crash, and he went in big. Not 5%, not 10%. No, he went in big. And he had a special clause in his fund, and I think I'm getting this pretty much right. I may not, every detail might be perfect, but I'm pretty close. And he said, I could lock you up for a year. I can lock you up, and you can't get out of my trade. You've given me your money, and I'm in. Oh! Man, in late 2006, when everybody was partying, people were P.O.'d. I mean, they were watching him go short on the market, and it was continuing to go up, and oh, man, then, bing, pop. Well, he kept people in against their will. Now, a lot of people went, okay, bygones, bygones. Yeah, you were right, Dr. Burry. And it was fine. Other people were just so mad, even though they made tons of money. He took $780 million and turned it into $1.6 or $7 billion in a very short amount of time. Are you with me on this?
I sure am. I hear what you're saying. He doubled their money.
Yes. And he had a clause in his fund. And he was way, way, way over his position limits because he knew it was going to go up. And I'm getting to my point. And Melody, this is for you, too, because you sell gold and silver. And I remember seeing an interview. He didn't get very many interviews, but one of the few interviews he gave, he said, you know, I manage my own money. I don't have to worry about position limits. I don't have to worry about position limits. I could just do whatever I think I need to do, looking at the market and the facts. That brings us to gold and silver. And please understand that the day this thing blows, forget about, oh, I'm going to liquefy my account, and I'm going to go to Melody, and I'm going to get some gold and silver. And Melody, you did not tell people to do this. I get paid no money for doing this. I don't get paid anything at all. Period, the end. I get paid nothing. I'm telling you what I believe. You're a sponsor on my site, and thank you for being honest where I don't have to kick you off for cheating people because you never have. Anyway, I'm back to position limits. And so when you're talking about position limits and hedge fund managers like Michael Penton, who's very smart, incidentally, and I love him, but he's bound by the ethical standards of investing money to have position limits, and he can't tell people, oh, man, you should have 50% of your assets in gold and silver after you pay your house and your car and get your title and have everything else in good working. You should be 30, 40. You should be big. You should be in big because it's going to blow. It's going to blow. There's no getting around the math. It's not doom and gloom. It's math. And the math is awful ugly. And so what I'm telling people is, you know, some people, you know, I got $10,000. Should I invest in gold and silver? No. Do you have new tires in your car? Well, no. Is your house doing good? Yeah, no. Do you have some cash land? No. Well, then don't buy gold and silver. You know, buy yourself 10 ounces of silver. That's all you can get. You need to do all this other stuff. But if you have money and you're waiting and you're going to stay in and you think you're going to be the first one out the door when this thing starts going, you're not. You're not going to be out the door. You better take your position and hold it just like Burry. This is a math problem, and it's awful. You should watch the interview I have after the evening. I mean, Michael Pinto, who's like a human computer with a nice head of hair and can talk and just one fact, boom, 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 one debt fact after another, and they're horrible. One fact after another about earnings, and it's not good. One fact after another about all the central bankers selling this debt one after another, and it is awful. There is no other outcome. As soon as they let their foot off that pedal, I mean a bit, it's going to be sell, 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 sell. And, when you have people like Hugh Henry go, I can't read the market. You can't read, in other words, he can't read the manipulation. He can't invest. He's not investing. I don't know what the manipulation is going to be. You know, good news is bad news. Bad news is good news. So that's what I'm saying about people positioning themselves for this, and it takes a lot of work. And you got to. And what was the Jim Sinclair? His father was. What was his father's name? Bud Sullivan. His father's name. Either that or Jesse Livermore. I can't remember. One of the two famous traders. Famous traders. And one of the things that they said to the best. I think it was Bud Sullivan, which I think Jim Sinclair, Mr. Gold's father. I guess his father, right? Yeah, I think so. Okay, so anyway, he said the best trade I ever made was one I sat on.
Mm-hmm.
Not a maybe. I know it's gone on a long time. They said, oh, I made 15% or 20%, or oh, the market's up $5 trillion. And look at how they did that. We gained $70 trillion. We had a debt problem and we basically took out more lines of credit. And now we're at the point where no matter even if it's 1% or 2%, they got German bonds that probably won't be paid back. They're at negative interest rates. You know, when somebody with a negative interest rate paying bond starts saying, hey, we can't even pay you the principal, sorry. And they got $15 trillion of that. When rates do go up, and they, and if the central banks lose control, and they can, but what do you think happens to all that debt at 1% and 1.5%? And what you're talking about, you know, Alfred, you're talking about destroying the wealth. You're talking about, you know, you got a 1.5% 10-year treasury, and now rates are right now are a 2.3 something on a 10-year, and what happens if they just go to 3 or 3.5? I mean, oh man, you're down, you're way underwater. And so I think people should forget about position limits and find out what works. And what works is stuff. I mean, well, you know, most people, you know, aren't going to buy a Renoir. Most people are not going to buy, a 40-carat diamond from De Beers. Simple things, you know, most people can buy gold and most people can buy silver. And you know, they can, and if they work this right, they can, you know, back to Charles Denner. This isn't about making money. This is going to be so awful if you just listen to somebody like Charles Denner who says, "Oh yeah, you're going to buy this investment, you're going to lose money, but you at least have something when this is all over." That's where we're going. That's the world we're going to wake up and find ourselves in. And then take a look at the North Korean thing with. And this is something else that that I talked to Michael Pinto about, who knew all about it. He started naming some quotes. You know, I had the quote about him saying, "This is the calm before the storm." And he says, "Oh well, let me tell you, he's also been out there tweeting to, you know, Rex Tillerson that you know, negotiations don't work, diplomacy doesn't work. I know how to fix this. You know, I mean, whew, this is the calm before the storm." Jim Rickards talked about the period between the 10th of October. Because he thinks this thing will blow up, technically
speaking.
This year,
at the end of the year, in January,
yeah,
when the Fed says we're not going to raise rates, oh, and that's going to be viewed as, oh my goodness, the economy does suck. Okay, and remember, we're still in emergency standards, still emergency mode. And I asked him, Jim Rickards, said, "Well, is there a lot of people think that October could be a tough month?" I mean, and he said, "Yes, it can be, and you know, it could be, you know, at any moment when somebody could zig when they should have zagged." But the 10th through the 21st are big dates. So what's today? The 10th. The 10th is the anniversary of the North Korean Communist Party. When the North Korean Communist Party was formed, was the 10th of October. I don't know, 50 years. Or whatever, how many years ago it was. And he says in the 21st, so he says, you expect some missiles to go off, and we're not being very keen on that, especially with them broadcasting that they want to have a ballistic missile that'll hit the west coast of the United States. Now, any president looking at this cannot ignore that. They can't. And then you have the naval drill, and we're sending the Ronald Reagan. So this is a super carrier, the Ronald Reagan, so we're serious. This is a big drill, and we're serious. And who knows what they have over there already? I couldn't believe that that these sources in the White House were talking about how we have these nuclear subs, state-of-the-art nuclear subs. And if somebody wrote me and said, "Oh, that's not really a problem," they send you know, with the carrier groups, they always send this you know, this LA class submarine. They always send a submarine. Yeah, but they didn't say state-of-the-art. That's not state-of-the-art. That's 1960s technology. We're
going to have to talk about that when we return, Greg. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment with our guest, Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival with our guest Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Where are we going now, Greg?
Am I talking too much?
Absolutely not. You're saying some very interesting items, so...
I will tell people without, you are my sponsor on the site, and you know, I don't know if I've told this story before, but I had a lot of people that wanted to be a sponsor on the site, and I have to be, you know, I don't want to rip people off. I believe in what you're doing, what you sell, and that's physical gold and silver. I think you sell some numismatic stuff too, but you don't rip people off by selling them, you know, proofs at $400 over, you know, spot, you know, unless it's really worth that. You know, you sell, you know, you do people right. I've never had a single complaint. I'm not doing this for a commercial. You've paid me nothing other than the fact you're a sponsor on my site, and I appreciate it. And I remember when I first got with you, I said, listen, if I start getting phone calls where you're not delivering product and I got people complaining, I'm going to take you off my site, and I'm going to send you your money back. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
And I never had to do that. And I meant it. I was going to do it. But people should not worry about position limit. They need food. They need water. They need tires on their car. They need a new battery. You know, they need to have a car title. They need to have all kinds of stuff. But they also need to have real money. They need to have cash, too. People should have cash.
People need to have some cash. Absolutely. Absolutely.
People need to have some cash. People need to have some, you know... But for people who are investors, if you're waiting for... The trumpet is blowing. They're out. The warning trumpets are blowing
everywhere.
And here's Bill Gross. Here's just a quote by Bill Gross. Now, he's been wrong on interest rates because I think even he was surprised that they were going to drive them down into, you know, negative territory. And they may still do that, but that's going to be so inflationary. Oh, my gosh. That's not going to help stuff. That's not going to normalize anything. It's going to make things abnormal. And Bill Gross... is saying we have now. Remember Hugh Henry, the big fund. Hugh Henry, Google him. He's famous. He's renowned money manager. Mm-hmm. Also, another one that just quit. I can't remember. Not nearly as famous as him. He said he couldn't read the markets. Was supposed to be this way. Quote. Was supposed to be this way. Here's Bill Gross. We have fake markets because of the Fed. And this is another quote from Bill Gross, former bond king, the bond king of his name, and he works at Janus Capital, but he founded PIMCO out on the West Coast. And he says, again, we have fake markets because of the Fed. And then he says, everything is so tight, it's hard to pick a winner from a group that is fake. Now, you know, what's happening with the markets, about 80% of it is done by robots. Who's controlling the markets? Robots. Robots are controlling the markets. You know, people that front run things, that be robots that people basically deploy to front run trades. How fast do you think when this thing starts falling that the robots are going to start selling?
It'll be done in a matter of minutes at the most.
Yes, I think minutes. You would be so far behind the robots if you mm-hmm. spent 3 or 4 minutes after a you know, after we find out that we've just hit North Korea. Listen, it won't be any hitting North Korea easy. There won't be a one and done. Forget that. We would have to sink every submarine of theirs. And you know they're off our coast somewhere. You know they're in range with their missiles that they have tested. They've shot video of it. You know, they fire from underwater launches, okay? So we would have to before we hit them and knock out this artillery, what I wanted to bring this up to, that we would have to hit their submarines. So this would be all-encompassing. And then we would have to knock out China's submarines,
China?
Too, because they said they were
going to... Iran.
Gonna,
Iran.
Right, yeah. And and then we have, or would we call their bluff and say, you're going to attack us? Well, if you attack us, you know, that what this is a real high-stakes game. And then Jim Rickards was talking about, this is in the interview, I don't know if you listened to it, but halfway through, over halfway through, the first 10, 12 minutes talking about his predictive learning, which was interesting, but boy, the bombs started dropping at about 12 minutes in. And he's brought up, he said, you know, he said he works for the CIA. He's a contractor for the CIA. I worked for the CIA. He makes no bones about it. So anybody said, well, he's a CIA show. Yeah, he says he is. He says he is. But that doesn't mean what he has to say is not useful. And I couldn't believe he said this on my air. And he said, well, do you think the people at Los Alamos have been standing still for the last 10 years? I mean, we have bombs, that nukes that we could use that don't have a radiation signature. And we would nuke their artillery so they wouldn't destroy all the lives in South Korea. You know, they have, I don't know, 40,000 guns trained on South Korea. They can hit them, you know, with 20 and 30 and 40-mile ranges. You know, they could hit South Korea and cause, you know, Seoul to be, you know, a bed of ashes and kill millions. We're not going to let that happen. And they also said, he says, you know, China and North Korea think we're bluffing. Let me tell you, we're not bluffing. Now, and then he started about this window of time that we have one of these missiles go off, that we have an intercontinental, they're going to do another missile test, you know, for their anniversary, and, you know, they've been firing missiles over Japan, and what are we going to do then? What are we going to do? They're planning a response. Don't think they're not. And you better be set, like Dr. Burry was set. Mm-hmm. And what did he do? Like Bug Seligman said, I think it's Bug Seligman or who was the other trader? But anyway, he sat on his trade. Just sat, Jesse Livermore. They sat on their trades. He knew what was going to happen, and he didn't know the timing, but he knew it was fact certain. The math said it was fact certain. The math and the debt in the world says it's fact certain. There is no out to it.
No.
There is no other outcome of inflation, deflation, a carnival of default and inflation, both at the same time, not one or the other. Forget one or the other. And so, you know, if something like that goes off, they're going to hit them, and they're going to hit them hard, and they're going to have to. They're not going to be, we're going to hit you one time like Nagasaki. And then, you didn't want to give up. Okay, Hiroshima. No, that won't be like that. That ain't going to be like that. And so, you know, I don't know. Is that going to happen this year? Rickard says it'll happen by next year. And then also the bond selling is going to happen by next year. And I don't know. Are all the central banks going to be selling, sell? And at some point, this thing's going to go haywire. But I'll say one other thing, too, that I wanted to make sure people know. Don't be so sure. We're never going to get to the wall. And this is Carl Denninger. This is another little word of wisdom from Carl Denninger. He says, you know, we never get to the wall. You know that, right? Well, what do you mean? Carl Denninger says, because, you know, the housing crisis could have gone on until like 2010 or so, but we never get to the wall. We never hit the wall. It always blows up before we hit the wall because there's always somebody on Wall Street that wakes up one day who's got a lot of money and says, I'm not going to wait till I hit the wall. Today's the day I'm going to sell. I can't sleep anymore. And there it goes. Boom. Now, do you think we're going to wait till we hit the wall? No. The answer is no. I mean, and listen, if you take a look back at what I talked about, Hugh Henry, this is the stuff that I come up with that I just put together. This is just the data points I've collected. I'm just looking at all these data points. Did Hugh Henry wait till he hit the wall? He closed his hedge fund and gave everybody back their money. I mean, he kept his winnings.
Yes.
He kept his winnings.
I saw one billionaire.
Just closed his hedge fund, gave everybody back their money.
I saw one billionaire's comment. He said, how did you get, someone asked him, how did you get to be a billionaire? He said, I always sold my investments too soon. In other words, what he meant, he didn't wait until they hit the peak. He got out while the getting was good, and he preserved his profits. And that's what you're, yeah. You're going to wait until the last minute, you're going to lose your butt.
Well, position limits. I mean, if you're all in the stock market, if that's worked for you, then you're not having any position limits and you all in on the stock market has been good for you. But I guarantee you that trade will not continue to be a great trade, according to every expert I talk to. Because the trade is being basically fluffed up, no matter what you hear on CNBC, which is at all-time lows. I mean, they're at 22-year lows in terms of market size, in terms of audience size. CNBC, I read some report. So, because they're not getting, they don't want to make anybody mad. You know, they don't want to function as a news organization. They want to function as a cheerleading team.
Which means they take advertising.
Because that's bad for the markets. I mean. I just find out
something
about
that. Can't antagonize the advertisers.
Well, but I wouldn't worry about position limits on gold and silver. I would go get it. I would go acquire it. I would hold it under my direct control. I wouldn't think twice about holding it, and I would just think Jesse Livermore or Bud Seligman, the best trades I ever made, were trades I sat on. Why? Why do they say that? Because they looked at the field and said, okay, we reached a point where the math is we're in no return land, we can't fix this, there's no magic fairy dust that'll fix this, this is the math, this is at some point, and I don't know what the point is, but I know it's going to blow. So I'm going to take my trade right now while I can get it, and I'm going to sit on it. And that's what Michael Burry did. Now, did he do it too early in 2006? Yes, he did. Too early. But he sat on his trade and locked everybody in. And that's where we are with this. I mean, and the canaries in the coal mine are just flopping over dead on the floor. This Puerto Rican thing with Trump, we got to wipe that out. Oh, that was the most important tweet other than the tweets about war. Financially speaking, that is the most important tweet that you should focus on in the financial realm of Trump talking about wiping that debt out. We got to wipe that out.
Do you think he can do that? Do you think he will do it?
Listen,
was it an offhand remark that he may have rethought?
Is controlled by the President of the United States. The Exchange Stabilization Fund is headed up by Steve Mnuchin. He works for who? The President.
So you could just do an executive order.
You know, this backdoor liquidation and all this other stuff, he's not going to spend the money on that. Sorry, you made a bad trade. I mean, think about when I was telling you the story about Donald Trump in his hotels. I mean, he was the man. He was the man in the 80s. Hot chicks, big cars, cool hair, right? Lots of buildings, Trump this, Trump that, Trump everything, Trump everywhere, Trump, it's Trump. And then he got into financial trouble. And all these banks were into Trump. They were all in. And, you know, at some point, I don't know if he said this or not, but you met him sitting in a room with all the bankers going, you know, I'm a brand, and it's huge. And if you let me go under, I'm going to suck you down. Your stock prices are going to hurt. You're going to get crushed. Heck of a lot more than what few pennies you can get out of me by taking me under. Oh, you're right. What do you need? Ah, the magic question. Here's what I need. Here's what I need. What do you do with that debt? He reorganized it. He cut it. He defaulted on it, reorganization. It's a nice word for I defaulted on some of it. Mm-hmm. And then what did he talk about on the campaign trail? I own everything. I have very little debt. I mean, what were they saying? He's got $10, $11 billion, and he owes $680 million. We've done this math before, right? That's like a guy with a $110,000 house, and he owes $6,800 on it. Is that guy teetering on insolvency? You got a $100,000 house, you only owe $6,800?
That's
Trump.
Okay.
So how did Trump get that way? He cut the debt. He defaulted. He got deals done. I'll pay you back this much, but I won't, quote, default, unquote. We'll just reorganize the debt. It's a nice way of saying, ooh, well, we made a bad decision, but we minimized the bad decision, bankers. What's he going to do?
No, it's more than that.
Fast forward to a much bigger scale.
You know what that reorganization means? It means that the creditors agree to take a haircut.
Boom.
That's the point. You're so far in debt that they say, okay, we'll take 50%.
Yeah, what can I get?
And as long as they agree, it's not a bankruptcy, it's not a default, as long as they agree to go along with the program.
But to you and me, it's call it a haircut, call it whatever
it's
nice
a
term you want. It's a limited
default. It's a default, but nobody's admitting it's a default.
That's right. And that's why bonds are not, remember I've said, we're going to find out. Debt, we've been told debt and bonds our asset. You know, dollars, we've been said dollars, bonds, we've been said debt is an asset. And whether it's dollars or bonds, Federal Reserve notes or bonds, they're not assets, they're liabilities. Debt is always, has been, and always will be. We just looked at it from this pyramid of it, this long down here slide from, you know, Paul Volcker, we're not going to invest in gold, we're going to invest in treasuries. And they jacked interest rates up to the sky, and then they started cutting them down. Well, we're at the bottom of the cutting them down. We've hit the bottom of that. And so for the last 40 years since 1980, wow, looks like a, you know, debt is an asset. No. You're going to find out debt is what it always is and always has been, and it is a liability.
Yeah. All right. Are you still there, Al?
Hello? No.
Yeah. Are you still there? Are you there, Greg?
I'm here.
All righty. Yeah, we lost Al a couple times during the program. I guess we lost him once again, but we are nearing...
Yeah, went down to the corner saloon for a couple of drinks. Well, I got right back. Yeah, came right back.
But we're just
about down where we've got about 40 seconds left. Greg, tell us a little bit about who's going to be on your program this evening and when will we be able to hear it?
I've been talking about it. I've left out a bunch of stuff with it. It's Michael Pinto. He has Pinto Portfolio Management. He's on tonight talking about, he adds a lot more depth and a lot more facts and figures that he knows about. And it's just pain. He even says, hey, listen, anybody listen to this, you better have some gold. I said, what about silver? Oh, I like silver too. I like platinum, I like silver, I like gold. I like them all. I like the metals. You should have physical stuff in your possession.
Thank you.
That's somebody who's
we're
a manager
have to
telling
let
people
go
they have
with
stuff
that,
in their
Greg,
possession.
Because we're out of time. Want to thank Greg Hunter for being
thank
on the
you,
program.
Thank you, Greg.
Want to thank all
thank you,
you folks for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Greg Hunter, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.